My dear people, God, when I was a teenager, there was a song on the radio that was very popular entitled Love, Sweet Love. It is actually written in 1965. The lyrics were by Hal David, the music by Burt Bacharach, and it was recorded by Jackie DeShannon. And the refrain was this, and I quote, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone." My friends, that was true back when I was a kid. What the world needed was more love. It was the only thing there was just too little of. And it's true today. Unfortunately, we seem to be going in the wrong direction when it comes to making a world of love. But the fact of the matter is, my friends, God made us so that we can become people of love. And God tells us of his incredible love for each and every one of us. In fact, when you look at the Bible, as God tries to help us understand the relationship that he wants with you and me, he uses two human relationships that are most about mutual love. He speaks about the parent-child relationship, and he speaks about the relationship of marriage, the relationship between a husband and wife. The two kinds of human relationships that are meant to be all about love. And my friends, our first reading today speaks about that parent-child relationship. And our second reading is the one that is most frequently used at weddings. I'd say close to 80% of the weddings I've had, that reading from 1 Corinthians in love was used. Now, just a little poll, those of you married, how many of you had that reading at your wedding? Oh, I bet it's more than that. Come on, don't be shy. Anyway, love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interest. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But unfortunately, there are many in our world today who don't understand love, and so we're going in the wrong direction. I just draw your attention to the crucifix. My friends, Jesus showed us that true love is not a warm, fuzzy feeling that we fall into and fall out of. True love requires self-sacrifice. True love requires self-donation. True love requires giving of yourself until it hurts and then giving some more. So true love isn't easy, but the song is right. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's not easy, but it's love that gives meaning and fulfillment to our lives. It's only through love that we can come to a life of real joy. But it's not easy. But as I said, we're going in the wrong direction. Just a couple of weeks ago in the state of New York, it passed legislation making abortion legal up until the day of birth. The legislation also said that if an abortion attempt is unsuccessful, and by that they meant if a baby is born alive, that you can put that baby aside and just allow that baby to die. And when the legislation was passed, the elected officials in the New York legislature clapped and cheered. It was sickening. They were cheering for the fact that you can kill an unborn child at any time, for any reason, at any stage of development. I would say that is about as far away from love as you can get, right? So that relationship between parent and child, which should be a relationship of mutual love, which God puts forward as an image of the love that he wants to have with each and every one of us, has been distorted in our world, so distorted in our world that people cheer over the possibility of killing a child right up to the day that he or she is born. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing that there's just too little of. The other image God uses for the relationship of love that he wants to have with you and me is the image of marriage. And that too, my friends, has been gravely damaged in our modern culture. And it's been damaged because many people are willing to trade temporary moments of pleasure for true love. Many have been willing to trade temporary moments of pleasure for true love. Let me use an analogy on this point. I called Diane Schneider from DS Cakes the other day about her cakes, and since she makes the best cakes, I thought she would be the one to listen to. So I asked her, when you're making a cake, how many eggs do you use? And she said for a cake for a single family, you'd use probably about 6 eggs. And I asked her, basically, why were the eggs important? In other words, what do the eggs do for the cake? And she said, the eggs have a chemical reaction with the leavening agent and with the butter. So the eggs help the cake to rise. The eggs help the cake to be airy and fluffy and moist. Okay, so I asked her, what would happen if you scrambled the eggs before you put them in the cake? Okay, just try to imagine that. So instead of putting in raw eggs, you pre-cook them and then put them in the cake. She said, that wouldn't be good. Okay. The cake probably wouldn't rise. It wouldn't be light and airy and moist like a cake should be. It would be dry and flat. It probably would be more like a cookie than a cake. My friends, I share that with you because in God's plan, we are in this world to learn how to love. So in God's plan, the foundation of society is meant to be marriage and family. The love between a husband and wife, and then the fruit of that love is children. But we live in a culture where a lot of people aren't bothering to get married. Where many people who do get married, their marriages fall apart. And then children, which are meant to be a great fruit of marriage, but in our culture, many have come to see children as a threat rather than a gift. Why? It's because people have chosen temporary pleasure over true love. In the analogy I'm trying to make, cake is the marriage. The eggs in that analogy are sex. A lot of people have failed to listen to the wisdom of God when it comes to sexuality. And so they're cooking the eggs before they put it in the cake. And as a result, they ruin or at least do grave harm to the cake. And my friends, I'm not saying this to put anyone down. I'm not saying this to judge anyone who has made mistakes. The fact is our whole culture has bought lies when it comes to the meaning of life, especially in the area of sexuality. I know I bought the lies. Now, in my life, I still did try to live by God's commandments on chastity, but I did it out of fear, not out of love. I was afraid mean old God was going to send me to hell, and so I obeyed out of fear rather than love. And in fact, I resented God because I was missing out on all the fun. And I resented people were having fun because they were having the fun I wanted to have. That spiritually was not a good place to be. But it was only by God's grace when I grew in faith that I came to really believe that God's laws are there because he loves us. He doesn't want us to restrict us or to limit us or to keep us from having fun. He wants us to learn how to love, but love isn't easy. But life is all about love. And the fact is, my friends, without chastity, we end up using people instead of loving people. So, for instance, God made men for greatness. Every man has within his heart an incredible desire for greatness. Right, guys? We dream about doing great things. But without chastity, we are far from great. So we have men lying to women in order to use their bodies. That's far from greatness. Might get you temporary pleasure, but it's far from the greatness that we desire. We have men saying, I love you when they don't. You're special to me when they're not. I'll stand by you when they have no intention to stand by them. And that's really far from the greatness that every man desires in his heart. And so many men, instead of being protectors of women that God made us to be, have become exploiters of women. Instead of being men of integrity and honesty and nobility, they become users of others and destroyers of others. How destroyers of others? Well, if a man uses a woman and she gets pregnant, often the response is, take care of it. In other words, kill our child. Folks, that is as far away from greatness as you can possibly get. It's as far away from love as you can possibly get. But the song is right. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing that there's just too little of. And so we have a lot of men today who fail to see women as precious daughters of God, but see them as things to use for their own selfish enjoyment. But that does long-term damage to the man. It damages his ability to eventually commit to a woman and to love that woman for the rest of his life. We also have many women who don't trust men. Many women who are angry at men. Many women who want nothing to do with men. You hear terms today like toxic masculinity. And that term just shows the damage it has done in the relationship between men and women. And the women who most embrace that term are the same ones who mock the wisdom of God, who make fun of those who speak of the wisdom of God, who think chastity is old-fashioned and stupid. The truth is, my friends, we have many women who live with incredible guilt because they've been involved in abortion. Deep down, they know they've taken the life of an innocent child, their own child, and it eats away at them. But you know, we human beings are really complicated creatures. So many women who live with this incredible guilt at the same time live with denial. They will angrily tell you that abortion is necessary. They will tell you they had no choice. And they even joke, as some idiot lady comic did a few months ago, and laugh about their best abortion ever. My friends, this guilt and denial leads to what we saw last week in New York, when people cheered that it is now legal to kill an innocent unborn child right up to the day of birth. There are so many women with deep guilt who see when other people choose an abortion, they see it as a justification of their own abortion. And so they actively promote abortion because inside they're dying from guilt and they're trying to justify themselves. And they express incredible hatred toward anyone who dares to suggest that abortion is a crime against humanity. But the hatred is really self-hatred. It's directed outward toward anyone who dares to suggest that what they did was wrong, but it's self-hatred. And my friends, that hatred and that denial and that guilt stands in the way of them coming to live a life of true love. Because true love requires sacrifice. And the guilt and the hate and denial gets them focused on themselves and what they want and their needs, rather than focusing on others and giving themselves in love for others. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing. There's just too little of it. My friends, our culture and many in our culture are a mess. And we're a mess because we're made for love. And because we've ignored the wisdom of God, we're becoming less and less a loving culture. Now, some people will tell you, you can't turn back the clock. But the truth is, if your clock is wrong, you got to turn it back, right? If your clock is off by 3 hours and 52 minutes, it doesn't do you any good. You got to turn it back. If it's not right, it's got to be set right. Our culture isn't right. Our culture is wrong. Our culture is dying because we refuse to listen to the wisdom of God. Our culture is sick because in our arrogance, we believe that our ways are better than God's ways. In our arrogance, we believe we can ignore his wisdom and live happy, fulfilling lives. We can't. We can't. And the only way we can fix this, my friends, is if we as a culture and we as individuals repent. Now, again, I'm not condemning anybody who's made mistakes in sexuality. I'm not condemning anybody who's had an abortion. God doesn't want you to keep beating yourself up. God wants you to receive his mercy and rejoice. He wants you to go forward filled with joy, knowing that you're loved by him. But we can't receive his mercy unless we first repent. If we repent of our arrogance, if we repent of our foolishness, if we repent of our stubbornness and choose once again to embrace the wisdom of God, only then will men and women be able to enter into a lifelong relationship of true love in marriage. Only then will every child be welcomed with love as a precious gift from God. Only then will we become the people of love. Can we become a culture of love that God made us to be? Repentance, my friends, can go a long way to clean up the mess. It can go a long way in putting us on the right track. My friends, God is love. We are made by love. We are made to love. We are made for love. And God has given us a roadmap on how we can live lives of love. But the only way we can live lives of love, the only way we can become a culture of love, is to repent of the arrogance that has made us think that our ways are better than God's ways, and to embrace his wisdom. He doesn't give us his laws because he wants to limit us and wants to restrict us or he wants to keep us from having fun. He gives us his laws so that we can learn how to love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing there's just too little of. My friends, let's choose to embrace the wisdom of God so that we can live the lives of love God made us for. Amen.